Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome to Unity Center of Light. I want to begin by saying not only welcome to those of us who have been here 1, 10, or what seems like a million and one times, but also anybody who's with us for the first time today. We welcome you with love and light from Unity Center of Light. I'm April May. I'm a licensed teacher here at Unity Center of Light. And I know that one newcomer we have today is Reverend Linda Martella-Whitsett, who's going to be our guest speaker. So you'll hear more about her later, but we want to welcome her right out of the starting gate. So let's see. So today is September the 17th, 2023. This day will not pass again. So let's make the most of it. I know we have a lot that's great in store for us, not only with Reverend Linda, but also with Safi on music. So what do you say? Let's get started. So what I'd like to do is share with you our mission and our foundation statements and ask you to join with me. So the mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And our foundation statement, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. So it is. Amen. So I'd like to invite Kathleen Bailey to share the daily word with us today.
Certainly. Good morning, Unity family. Joy, God's joy blesses each day of my life. The aroma of my favorite foods from childhood brings a happy memory to mind. Hearing the voice of a dear one warms my heart. Looking upon a newborn's face for the first time evokes a feeling that words can't even describe. While the giddy excitement of a child's joy may now be a memory, the joy I know today still delights me. Each day I embrace more completely the joy of knowing I am a living expression of God. God's life lives as me. God's wisdom is within me, my guide to a deepening understanding of myself and the world around me. The love I share with people who are dear to me is God's love, living in each heart and expressing as each of us. What greater joy could there be? And from 2 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you. Thank you. So it's my great good pleasure this morning to introduce our guest speaker to you today. Many of you may be familiar with her from her books and her teachings. She's ministered to individual ministries. She has been the head of Silent Unity for a number of years. She's written books like Divine Audacity that address our 12 powers, and one that many, many of us, especially those who've been chaplains and prayer folks, how to pray without talking to God. Boy, you rattled some good cages on that one, Linda. That was for sure. For all of our divine benefit, without a doubt. So today she's here to talk to us about Discover. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the book title. What I was going to say is Discover Your Divinity is her newest book title, A Modern Guide to Affirmative Prayer. And it actually arrived, I think, on the shelves the first day of World Day of Prayer. If you get postcards from the edge, you probably saw that. But today she's here to share with us about prayer from the ledge, a place that many of us are way too familiar with. And Linda, I just want to say it's been a pleasure to get to know you over the years through the Eastern Region Conference and through other activities. And so we just want to give you a very heartfelt, open welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you ready for me?
We're ready for you.
You're ready for me. Oh, I love how you began, April, because really it is my dominant intention in ministry to provoke. I sense it's really part of my purpose to be a provocateur. And I mean that in the best way, you know, and so I'm just going to ask, may my message this morning provoke you, you know, may it lead you to question, to grapple with divine ideas. Otherwise, why waste, you know, a beautiful hour together? To me, that's really important that, and I mean that without really the humor in it, that to question what I think I believe, to go deeper than what I have been told, to make it important for me to, you know, to think at deep levels and to come maybe sometimes to some new conclusions, to understand God in a greater way, understand myself in a greater way. To me, that's what my path is all about. And I know that for so many of you, that's also your path. I mean, you came to Unity because you had grown beyond a God of your prior understanding. And so, you know, why wouldn't there maybe be more of that? So I really want to address some thoughts about prayer, because this has been my primary path, even as a Unity minister. It's what I've been most interested in, most consumed by as a Unity leader and in my personal pursuit of spirituality. So I always go back to the fundamental question of why pray? You know, why? I mean, most people would say I pray because something's happening in my experience that is troubling me. I mean, we go to prayer also for Thanksgiving. We go for other, you know, sometimes for other reasons, but primarily it's like, I have a need and I need to take it to prayer. You know, something's happening that's troubling that I can't figure out, you know, humanly, right? Something wanted that has not seemed possible with my human effort. In other words, most people would say, and you might agree, I pray to get something that I want, something that I believe I need. Well, the way I've distilled this down, and you might have read this in How to Pray Without Talking to God, is we pray for one reason. It's because we feel powerless. We may think we're looking for something particular. We might even have a very explicit desired outcome that we want what we want. You know, I pray for what I want. But as I have asked about, is that the purpose for prayer? I started to see, and I believe today, that praying for a particular something to happen is a prayer of limitation, because I only know what I know. I only can see what I can see. And this is especially true at times of grave danger, times where it feels like life or death, times of extreme concern. So let's look at the potential of Unity's form of affirmative prayer to recognize this truth. Prayer is not about catching God's attention. Prayer is about attending to the power within. I'm going to say that again. Prayer is not about catching God's attention. Prayer is about attending to the power within. So it's not about asking God for what we want, but it's about realizing the Godness that we are. So when I turn prayer around like that, instead of talking to God, talking from a consciousness of my divine identity and honoring my human identity as I do that, we have the chance to harness our true nature. Now, I'm not changing Unity prayer. I'm just really explicating what the co-founders of Unity have said about prayer, and I'm highlighting it in my own study and research and understanding. So Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, said, prayers are not sent out at all. She said, sometimes that's our trouble. Where would we send our prayers? We should direct them to our minds and our hearts and to our affairs. Myrtle says this, and you can read about this in Myrtle Fillmore's Healing Letters. So unity prayer begins with understanding more about the nature of God and my nature, right? And really, what I think about God and what I think about myself determines the way I pray. And so when I was young, when I was a child, you know, I was given all the messages that most of us in Western culture have been given. God is in charge. God has all the power, which then means as a human, I'm helpless. I need to plead for God. You know the story, right? You know all of that. But, you know, I had a lot of questions about this way of praying, you know, questions that maybe you've had, like when I was young and living in Philadelphia, my hometown, watching the Eagles with my family on Sunday afternoon, right? The announcers would pan to the locker rooms where the teams were huddled in prayer. And both teams, whoever was the challenging team and the Eagles, they were saying the same prayer, right? God, give us this win. And I couldn't help but wondering, like, which God, the Eagles God or the Seahawks God? Like, which God which team was God going to favor? You know, it was confusing to me to think God would take sides. You know, it's even more disturbing in times like our recent hurricane here. I think they need to retire the hurricanes that begin with the letter I, because Ian was really dangerous last year here in South Florida. And now Idalia is really, really also pummeled this area again. But, you know, when people make it through a tragedy like that, they're like, well, God heard my prayer. And I think, but what about the other hundreds of people that didn't make it out? Are we to say that there's a God that would favor some over others, a God that would heal this person and have the other person die instead from the same disease? You see, that cannot be the nature of God, right? So, you know, Butterworth, you all know, remember the late, great Eric Butterworth. He said, more people praying does not mean that more of God is present. I mean, that's really the truth about it, right? So most of us have vestiges of an embedded theology. Our early training, the pervasive culture around us has given us conditioned thinking that can make it very hard to see God, the self, and prayer, therefore, in any other way. But we've come to unity, and we've learned in unity that prayer's not about supplication, and we don't regard God as a superhuman Santa Claus kind of deity that fixes all our problems. So it bears the question of, like, what about that nature of God, and what about my nature do I bring into prayer and find that it's different, that it's useful to me? Charles Fillmore said, prayer is the highest mind action known. It's about lifting consciousness to the God standard. It's about praying from God consciousness. Wow. He said it steps up, prayer steps up mental action. You think about this, prayer is a mental activity. It's a thought transformation activity. And what are we transforming? We're transforming our awareness of ourselves from I'm only human to I am human, yes, and I am divine. Let me access my divine. Let me access that part of my nature that is ineffable and limitless. Let me access that greater nature. And so in unity, we find that the great power of prayer is to recognize something about the nature of the divine that we can relate to, that we can recognize and claim. A simple example, God is love, right? God is not a being who loves. You know, when we say God loves me, we're really personalizing and anthropomorphizing that power. But if we're looking at claiming the power that God is, we say God is love, the actual nature of love, right? God is love. And in unity, our primary message is God and I are one. You know, not I'm one with God, like there's God and then there's me. God and I are one. Let me have a unified mind when I think about what's important to me. God and I are one. You know, Fillmore said, again, whatever we can say about the nature of God, we must be able to say about ourselves. And he said that in the book Talks on Truth. You can read it. So we're fully human. We're fully divine. Therefore, we can say that God is, define God in regard to some power, some principle, maybe love. God is love. And if I recognize my divine nature, that God and I are one, that's not separate from that nature of the divine, I rightfully say, I am love. So take a breath around this. I bet there's no dispute when you hear God is love, right? But God, instead of God being a being who loves, think about God is the very love that I find within me and all around me. That God is love that expresses as compassion, love that shows up as harmony in my thoughts and in my feelings. God is the very love where I feel unified with my beloved, with any other human. God is love. I am that love. Wow. And so God is the infinite, the unformed, right? The invisible, but sensed nature of love. I am that love. And I, because I have a body, and because I live in an environment that is of form and shape and time and space and three-dimensional, therefore I can love. God is love. I am that love, capable of expressing love in my life. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? Right? So I am, as we hear all the time, I am visible evidence of that invisible power that is love. But I am very definitely able to claim it and put it into action in my life. I'm not just a hollow flute where God is doing God's thing and I'm absent. I can't be absent. I am consciousness itself choosing to use that power of love that I am. This is the power of unity prayer, coming to this realization in prayer that, in fact, in the most troubling circumstances of my life, I'm not the least bit helpless. That I can recognize the power that God is. I can claim that it's my nature because God and I are one. I can't be separate. That means I must be able to embody that power. Spiritual strength when I'm standing in a time of uncertainty, or when my loved one is in hospital and all I can see is the pain that they're feeling and the diagnosis that they've been giving, and I shift my awareness to stand in this truth of their wholeness in spiritual strength. You see, I do that. I choose to align with that power, that principle, in such a way that now I change what can happen. Just think about that when I go to visit my loved one in hospital, when I have done my own prayer work first, and I conclude that I am not there just to commiserate and to How do I help them when I go there feeling just as worried about things as they might be? My help for them, my support of them, is by my shift of my consciousness. And I know they are whole in truth. I know that I'm going to champion their whole life and their well-being. And I go in there with an entirely different mindset. I become the Jesus, the Christ of that moment, you see, when I stand with them in my full consciousness of human and divine, and I am a presence of strength, a presence of life, of a wholeness, of well-being, of peace. And I bring that whole power with me when I come into this loved one's presence. Do you feel the power, the potential of that, and the greatness of this capacity? This isn't about a particular outcome at all, is it? This is about what am I and what do I bring to the situation? And I'm fond of saying, if I bring that consciousness into my circumstances, those circumstances have a better chance of shifting. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's magical thinking to say, if I hold the right thought, it's all going to just, you know, correct. My situation's going to reform or correct. No, but my consciousness makes a difference. And if there's going to be improvement, I'm supporting that improvement, you see? So for me, the way I sum up unity prayer in my own thinking comes from when I lived in San Antonio, Texas. So I lived in Texas for several years at the Unity Church of San Antonio. I was the minister there. I found the Texas highways, especially in San Antonio and in Dallas, the Texas highways were the easiest roadways for me to navigate in my whole life. And I've lived in many different places, right? And here's why. When I was driving on the highway, the highways were lined with all the businesses, right? And when I needed to get to a business that was on the other side of the highway, but I didn't know exactly where it was, I would pass it, of course, when I was driving in the direction I was going. And all I had to do was get in the inside lane of the highway and use what they call a turnaround. And that turnaround would take me onto an access road on the other side of the highway. I'd drive right to that business establishment and be where I needed to go. Never before had I experienced that. I lived in Pennsylvania. You know, Pennsylvania highways, the whole Northeast is pretty similar, right? I would, if I missed my exit in Pennsylvania, I might drive 15 miles out of my way to the next exit in order to turn around and figure out where I was and get back. But in Texas, all I had to do was what I lovingly refer to as the Texas turnaround. To me, I think of it as a dance, doing the Texas turnaround. I don't have to berate myself for going past where I needed to go. I don't blame my car and say, bad car, you didn't take me where I needed to go. Oh, no, no. All I do is get in the inside lane, turn around, and I go where I needed to go. The Texas turnaround is my way of understanding unity prayer. Because when I enter prayer, how about you? I usually enter with some worry on my mind, some concern, something that's not right. I'm not where I wanted to be, right? I apply the Texas turnaround, which is prayer, to recognize the nature of God, to then claim that nature as my nature, and then to say in realization, what can I do differently now using this principle? How can I live differently, think differently, speak differently into this situation so that I become the Christ of this situation? I actually bring the consciousness of possibility to my life. I have turned around. See, I've gone from I'm only human to I'm human and I'm divine. That's the big turnaround. To claim my divine identity is the great Texas turnaround of prayer. So for me, what good is prayer if it's not useful? You know, you must become powerful. Prayer is not just for a specific outcome. It's for healing of my mind, for transforming of my understanding, such that I can be a presence in a situation that can help the situation. So I have it in me. You tell yourself that. I am the godness. I am. God is whatever power I recognize. I am that power. It's my nature. And we say in unity, where God is, I am. And I say, what God is, I am. So unity's prayer, it's useful. We never discount our human feelings about our human experience. No, we just apply the Texas turnaround to our spiritual nature. You know, Charles Fillmore referred to this as the pivotal power of mind, to know, yes, I'm 100% human. Let me honor that. Let me feel my feelings. Let me be real about it. And then let me recognize there's another dimension to my nature that is 100% divine. Let me access that and let me experience and then express the power that I can bring to all my circumstances. So congratulations for being in a unity community that encourages us to be the light of the world, to be that bold, that wise, that strong. So friends, let's take this into meditation and let's meditate about our divine humanity, our spiritual beingness. I'm going to invite you to just sit in your posture for prayer. And if it's possible for you to do so, I'm going to invite you to sit toward the front of your chair, like to go so toward the edge of your seat that your pelvis drops forward. What this does is naturally align your spine, lengthen your spine, so you can sit more at attention, right? If that's not totally uncomfortable for you, I think it might be a posture that you find useful for prayer. Feet flat on the floor. Spine lengthened. Close your eyes if you'd like to, and breathe. Breathe easily. You might want to begin by breathing deeply for a couple of breaths just to activate your breath in every area of your body temple. Direct your exhale, breath down your arms into your open palms on your lap. And take a moment to notice your body. Let's not leave our bodies, but let's be fully embodied in this time of prayer. Notice where in your body you're feeling sensation. Maybe you notice the temperature difference between your physical body and the air around you. Notice any pockets of tension and relax those muscles consciously. Instruct your nervous system to calm. Your thoughts to quiet, your body to still. Give yourself the affirmative knowledge. I am a divine human. I am spiritual as well as physical. Send this affirmation as a code of authority into your brain, into your nerves and muscles and bones, the organ systems, your heart. I am a divine human. I am spiritual as well as physical. I am a divine human. I am spiritual as well as physical. Just notice if you have any visceral response to this message of truth. If you have any thoughts of but, or if you even feel any response in your own body. I am a divine human. I am spiritual as well as physical. Without arguing with any voices of contrariness, just affirm, I know, I am a divine human. I am spiritual as well as physical. I look not to my circumstances that are changeable, but to the changeless truth of my eternal identity. I cannot be limited by my physical conditions. I experience conditions, but conditions are not my identity. They do not belong to me. They don't define me. I am divine. I am divine wholeness, divine beauty, spiritual power and strength. Sit with this truth. I am a divine human. I am spiritual as well as physical. Sit with that for a moment in silence. Go deeper than thought. Just let it penetrate consciousness. Integrating this great truth that I am divine, that I am spiritual as well as physical, integrating that, I now am more able to realize it in my life, to make it real in my day-to-day. I'm capable of meeting the demand of each moment by acting the part of my true nature. So I can take hold of any power, any principle, any capacity that I have assigned to God. I can take hold of them and own them, claim them, to consciously embody them in the day ahead. Take a moment to think about what you're planning to do with the rest of your day, who you might encounter, where you might go, what you might be working on. and then bring to mind some of the ways you understand the nature of God that you could use this day. Maybe compassion, maybe clarity, maybe courage or joy, maybe audacity. And tell yourself, these capacities are the nature of God. They are my capacities. I can use them. I can embody them today. Take a deep breath. Breathe out. Once again, breathing in fully, letting this truth of your divine identity take hold in you. I am a divine human. I am spiritual as well as physical. This is the truth. And so it is. And so it is. Amen.
So it is. Thank you, Linda. Thank you so very much. Let's just take a moment and beam our love and appreciation to Linda for this message that she shared with us today. We are so grateful for you and for the Spirit of God that expresses as you. Mm-hmm.